You know our frame. You remember that we are dust. Our bodies weaken, our strength fails, and our days are like grass. Your steadfast love is from everlasting to everlasting upon those who fear you. Draw especially near to those whose health is failing. When their bodies are weak, be their strength, and when their fear rises, be their peace. When the future appears uncertain, fix their eyes upon Christ. Give wisdom and compassion to doctors, nurses, carers, family, and friends. Grant healing where it pleases you. Grant endurance where suffering remains. Above all, let sickness drive us toward Christ rather than away from him. Remind us that though the outward man wastes away, you are preparing your people for a kingdom where sickness, pain, and death shall be no more. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, you purchased your church with your own blood. Guard her, strengthen her, and make her faithful. We pray for Josh and Craig as they attend Reach Australia Leadership Development Training in Brisbane next week. Give them humility to learn and wisdom to discern and courage to lead according to your word. We pray also for Grace Christian Church, Buderim in Queensland. Cause your word to dwell richly among them, strengthen their pastors and elders. Preserve them from error and division. Bring unbelievers to repentance and faith through their witness. Make them a church not known merely by its activity, but by its love for Christ, holiness of life, and faithfulness to Scripture. Sovereign Lord, all nations are yours, and your kingdom rules over all. We pray for Abenego Musona, serving in FES in Zimbabwe. Strengthen him in the work you have given him. Open doors for the gospel among students, and give him boldness without pride and gentleness without compromise. We remember Christmas Island and Norfolk Island and the people living in very small external territories of Australia. Though they may seem distant and easily forgotten by us, none are distant and forgotten before you. Strengthen faithful Christians there and provide faithful churches and faithful preaching. Save those who do not know Christ and make your name known in those communities. Lastly, I'd like to pray for Mexico and Nepal. We pray for Mexico. Lord, men and women search for identity and family, success and nation and position. If you could please turn to Psalm 103, we shall read it. That is Psalm 103. Hear the words of the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy? Who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord's works, righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you, his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers, who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Well, it is so good to be with you on this Lord's Day. I always love coming here and whether worshiping with you or just having the opportunity to speak. It's a joy. Last time I was here, I think I neglected to do this, but I realized I didn't acknowledge all those people behind the screen down over there. As a Presbyterian minister, I know you had to come early to get those seats, so I just want to greet you and pray for God's blessing on you and this group here. So it's great to see such a great group. And this church has been an amazing encouragement to me. As serving at Trinity, there's no church in Perth that has more of a history together with Trinity than this church. And we are tied together. And for many years, Bruce Dodd was the chairman of the council. Today, Craig's on council. But a number of your pastors are from Trinity, and it's just a blessed partnership. So I just want to say thank you for that. And being part of Vic Park Presbyterian Church, a church that came out of this church, what a joy. And their AGM is today, so be in prayer for that. That'll be happening soon. But what a joy to be a part of all that the Lord is doing through you. So I just want to say thank you for your faithfulness and your steadfastness for the gospel. We're going to be looking at that great Psalm, Psalm 103, in just a moment. I want to lead us in prayer as well and just pray that the Spirit of God would work in each of our hearts. Father, we rejoice to be in your presence. We thank you for your word and the Spirit of God that indwells all who know you and love you. Father, I pray for each one here right now that you would speak to them through your word. If there are any here who do not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that this day they would understand, receive the grace of God, which is offered through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And to him be all glory, honor, and praise. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it was during a British conference that there was an international gathering of scholars, and they came together to debate what, if anything, is unique about the Christian faith. What is the unique contribution to religion? So these are professors and lecturers on comparative religion. So what's unique about Christianity? And some had brought up incarnation, but others said, no, there's other religions with incarnation. And someone brought up resurrection, and they said, well, there's other religions with resurrection. They're continuing their discussion, and the great C.S. Lewis comes into the room. And he looks at the discussion, he says, what's all the rumpus about? And they said, well, we're trying to discern what is unique about Christianity. And he says, that's easy. It's grace. And they thought about it, talked over it, and realized while other religions may have aspects of grace, some grace, no religion has the amazing grace that we have, where we have a relationship with our God, not because we've achieved anything in and of ourselves, but simply because of the work of Christ, and we're saved by grace through faith alone. No other faith has that. We have it. It's how God relates to us, but also determines our response to God. We do well to explore God's grace this day. And as we think about the grace of God, what I want you to do is personalize this to begin with. I want you to think about some area in your life where you absolutely know you need the grace of God. Could be with health, finances, work, education, relationships, family. But you, someone you know, they need God's grace. And so I want you to have that in mind right now, because we're going to be exploring this amazing grace of God that is unique in all the world, and it's unique to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So first, remember, we are called to remember God's grace to us. I'm going to read verses 1-5 again. So a Psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. There's going to be an emphasis again and again on all. Bless the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So it begins this psalm, bless the Lord, O my soul. He will end the psalm, bless the Lord, O my soul. So you recognize it's encapsulated with that thought. It is the great psalm writer David saying this, wake up, my soul. Wake up and praise God. Now, sometimes when we think of, you know, bless, we think of giving approval. I have two daughters. They were courted by very wonderful Christian young men, and I was honored when they called me and said, would you bless our wedding, my proposal? They were asking for my approval. But in this case, when we bless the Lord, God's not asking for our approval. He doesn't need our approval. But what the psalm writer is telling us is praise. We need to praise God. Wake up and praise the Lord for his grace and mercy. Eugene Peterson, in his book called Praying with the Psalms, says this. Do we think praise is the natural exuberance of the contented person? In other words, things are great in my life, therefore I praise God. It is not. It is the thoughtful response of the redeemed. It springs not from our good feelings, but from God's good acts. We praise God not when we feel good, but when we realize that God is good. It's a God focus that calls us to praise. We have to wake up and praise the Lord, because if we're sluggish, unthoughtful, forgetful, we lack praise. It lists six blessings here. Do you notice that? Forgiveness, healing, redemption, love, satisfaction, and renewal. I'm not going to cover all six of those. I just really want to cover one, because this is perhaps the most controversial, because he says he heals all your diseases. You saw that. And for those of us who still remember COVID, we recognize there's diseases still around. Now, here's a couple thoughts on that. First, when we think about this, he heals all, not one or two, all our diseases. We recognize first that all healing comes from God. Whether my body heals itself or I use modern medicine, that healing is God's grace. It all comes from God. The other thing we can say about Jesus' ministry is he healed all diseases. He healed them all. But here's the tension. God doesn't heal all the time or in our timing. Remember the story of Paul as he speaks in 2 Corinthians of the thorn in the flesh. Three times he prays that God would remove this affliction in the flesh. It's in the flesh. I want to give a personal illustration. I mentioned earlier, my younger brother Graham, who was at Subiaco Church for 21 years, he got mesothelioma. He was given 6 months to live, and he lived 6 months, and he died in January 2011. During COVID, it became very evident that my mother had Alzheimer's, and we knew beforehand, but it got worse and worse. Sherry and I did get over to see her. She seemed to remember me. Sherry and I had been married over 40 years. She thought she'd met my wife for the very first time. It's that disease. And then she went to be with the Lord in 2022. Here's what I want you to know, and this is, I believe, with my whole heart, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And my brother, Graham, does not have cancer in heaven. You're healed of all your diseases. My mother is not forgetful in heaven. We are healed of all our diseases, every single one of them. Even death itself does not have victory over us. We are indeed healed. It may not be in our timing, but God is the God who heals all, not one or two, all our diseases. So for the Apostle Paul, he has this thorn in the flesh. And what is the response of the Lord? My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. And that's what we look at as God's grace. What calls us to praise? Well, we've forgotten all his benefits. All that he has done for us. We remember grace. The second thing is this, we reflect. I want us to reflect upon the grace of God. And this will look at a larger section. But God's grace is greater than. And I want to look at several things where the grace of God is greater than. First, it's greater than oppression. Look at verse 6 and 7. The Lord works righteousness and justice for those who are oppressed. He made his ways to Moses. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. Now we can look at that and we can say, well, God works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed, all, once again. But do you notice the example that he used? He uses Moses and the people of Israel. Well, just recognize how many years were they in captivity in Egypt under oppression and slavery? 400 years. He does free the oppressed, but it's not always in our time schedule. But that's his example. Moses and the people of Israel, God works justice. He's greater than oppression. And he's greater. His grace is greater than our sin. I want you to reflect on the character of God towards his covenant people in verses 8 through 13. He says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. That's our covenant love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins. Think about that. Nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Sometimes people want to say something like this. When God forgives our sins, he forgets them as well. He just has this blank. He can't even remember them anymore. And I'm thinking, you know, as a theologian, that's not really true. I remember my sins. I'm sure God can remember them. He knows all things. What the text means, though, is this. He does not remember our sins against us. Sure, he knows what they are. He's God. But he doesn't count them against us because of grace that is offered through Christ. So let's look at that, the cross of Christ. How can God, just look at this dilemma, how can a righteous God be holy and righteous and just and yet forgive us by grace? Where you didn't earn it, achieve it in any way, how can he do that? That brings us back over to Romans chapter 3, and I want to look at just a few verses there. So he says, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace, notice, as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation, that one who takes on the wrath of God for us, a propitiation by his blood. He satisfies the wrath of God to be received by faith. This is to show God's righteousness because in his forbearance, he had passed over former sins. So even the Old Testament saints, how are they forgiven? By grace through faith. Who forgives them? Who's the sacrifice? Well, it's not the blood of bulls and goats. It's Jesus Christ. But God can forgive even knowing that sacrifice of the perfect Lamb of God will come. Two key concepts here that I want you to see. When a sacrifice is required, when there's sin and offense against the Holy God, a sacrifice is required. But secondly, substitution is possible. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the one who loved us, is that substitution for us. And God is perfectly satisfied in his own justice. Now we'll go back to Psalm 103, and I want you to notice there's three as statements. So this is a simile, a figure of speech, highlighting a shared characteristic between two things. So something shared between two things, as. So first, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for us. So let me ask you, how high are the heavens above us? Well, I did a little bit of research on this. So one light year is 10 trillion kilometers. You know, light travels pretty fast. One light year, 10 trillion kilometers. The Hubble telescope took pictures of galaxies said to be 13 billion light years away. Can you comprehend that? I mean, even one light year, 10 trillion kilometers, that's amazing. But something 13 billion light years away, incomprehensible. We all kind of become like Buzz Lightyear to infinity and beyond. I mean, it's just like, I don't get it. It's just too big for me to grasp. How big is God's love for us? As high as the heavens are above the earth, it is incomprehensible how great his love is for us. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. So how far is that? I've brought my visual aid, which is my fist. So I want you to think of this as a globe, the earth. My thumb, that's the North Pole. This is my pinkies, that's the South Pole. Okay, were you with me on this? You can do this at home too. Okay, so I want you to notice, starting at the North Pole, if I want to travel around the globe, I can travel south, 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 south. I get to the South Pole, and now I'm traveling north, 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 north. And then I get to the North Pole, and I travel south. You get that. But if I want to head east to west, I keep going east, and I'm going east, and I keep traveling east, and I keep going east, and I'm never meeting west. I can just continually go east around the globe again and again to infinity and beyond. I can go around the globe. That's how far our sins have been removed from us. In other words, they will never meet up with us. They can't. They won't. Because of the grace of God. God's forgiveness is absolutely total. Just pause and reflect on that. How great is his love for us? How far has he removed our transgressions from us? The third as. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion. Now I recognize we can always have examples of fathers who are not good fathers, but we're looking at a compassionate father. So think prodigal son. Remember that story of Jesus? Here is a father who has been offended and can be offended, and yet he chooses, when he sees his son come back, he chooses compassion. Compassion. And so the Lord has compassion on us. So he is over, grace is over oppression, grace is over sin, but grace is also over our mortality. As for man, his days are like grass. Now, by the way, the grass he's talking here is not your manicured lawn that has a reticulation system that keeps it green all year round. That's not what we're talking about. He's talking about the wild fields that the grass grows up. But in the summer heat, it just burns up. And in fact, there's nothing, no remnants of that grass left. And he's saying that grass goes. It's like it was never there. As for man, his days are like grass. Look at verses 17 through 18. Because his covenant love remains. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. And his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. Here's what we know. This is what I'm clinging to. God keeps his covenant love to my children, to my children's children. His covenant love to me, he keeps it to my children, to my children's children. I'm mortal. I know that. I'm not always going to be there, but God is there, the immortal God. His covenant promises, they're for you, me and for my children. Well, who receives these blessings? So we've got all these amazing blessings, right? Who actually gets those blessings? I want you to look at verse 11, verse 13, verse 17. So first, verse 11. So great is his steadfast love to those who fear him. We have that phrase, those who fear him. Those are the ones who receive that blessing. Verse 13. So the Lord's compassion to those who fear him. Those are the ones who receive that blessing. And then the end, middle of verse 17, that from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. So you see a repeated thought, those who fear him. And one of the things I did when I was in the local church and preaching on the fear of the Lord, and sometimes our mind goes crazy with that. What does that mean? And people seem to not have a grasp of that. So I did a thorough study of that, came up with three things that summarize that. And they can be summarized with this acronym, L-O-T. L-O-T, Lot. So what does it mean to fear the Lord? Love the Lord. O is obey the Lord. T is trust the Lord. So there's nothing there about being afraid, but there's this relationship going on. We love him. We obey him. We trust him. Those are the people who receive that blessing. And it's very clear three times, those who fear the Lord. Who are the people who fear the Lord? Those who love him, obey him, trust him. I want you to think about grace. There's an image I think about often with grace. It deals with water. Water always flows down. I mean, we have all probably seen some of the tragic images in Nepal this past week. Just tragic. Here's what we know. The water always flows down. Never up. It always flows down. It seeks its lowest point. So how does that relate to grace? God gives grace to the humble, but he opposes the proud. Those who think highly of themselves, God opposes. But those who humble themselves before the living God, those are the people who get grace. Here's what I want you to do just as an exercise this week. I took a walk recently and I just tried to reflect on Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. No one boasts. Meditate on Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Meditate on grace. Ponder it. The other thing is, I know that you have the Lord's Supper coming up next week. That is a feast of grace. I know the elements are small, but the grace is massive. Consider God's grace to you. How great is that grace to you? First, we remember, then we reflect. And then third, I'll just be brief with this idea, but I want us to respond. We respond by praising the Lord. So look at verses 20 through 22. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers, and all who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You notice a repeated thought four times, 20, 21, twice in verse 22, four times we are called to bless the Lord, to praise the Lord. He concludes by returning to his first thought, bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't be sluggish. Don't be lazy. Don't be forgetful. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless him. Now notice the response of the angels. They bless the Lord. They praise God. But you know, they're not recipients of grace. they observe God's grace to us, but they are not recipients of grace, and yet they still praise God for his grace, his amazing grace. How much more should we who are recipients of grace, sinners saved by grace, praise him? I just want us to explore the riches of God's grace. There is a great hymn of our faith that was written by John Newton called Amazing Grace. And it was very personal to him. Many of you know the story, and I'm not going to go into it in depth, but he was a slave ship captain. And then he became a gospel minister. And he starts reflecting upon the beauty and the grace of God. And he was known as a very vile person. And then he becomes an object of God's grace. He knew he was totally unworthy of it, but he becomes an object of the grace of God. And so he writes that great hymn in 1772. Now it's still beloved in our churches, sung today. But let me give you this illustration, a little bit more recent. In 2015, there was a shooting in America, and I know you hear about that. It's not all the time, but there was a tragic shooting at a church in America nonetheless. It was a historic black church, African-American church, in Charleston, South Carolina, so deep south in America, and it was a midweek prayer meeting. The pastor was there. There was a state senator there, and then a handful of people, as you know, these midweek prayer meetings, they don't get everybody, but they get some people. And those devoted and committed to prayer, they were there. And then a young white guy named Dylan Roof comes to the church, and he asks if he can be a part of the meeting. Of course, they welcome him into their midst, but he didn't come to pray. He came loaded with weapons to kill, and his intention, it came out later, his intention was to start a race war. A white guy going to a historic black church and shooting people. And he kills 9 people, including the pastor and the state senator. Was it a terrible tragedy? I remember being so engrossed in the story, I wanted to watch all the preliminary hearing. And that's where the friends and family members get to speak about what happened and about the loss of their loved ones. And these dear people got up on the stand. And they recognized that this man came with great hatred in his heart and wanted to start a race war. And they basically said to his face, "We know that you came with hatred, but we are not going to reflect that hatred back. We are people of Jesus Christ, of grace. And so we, even though we have lost these dear people and they will never be replaced, ever, we will not hate. We will forgive." Now, justice is going to take place. It needs to take place. But you want to know our response? It is not hatred. We will not be like you. We choose to forgive. I remember watching that, and person after person came up and said something very similar. And I was just thinking, these are my people. Their skin color is different, but these are my people. People of grace. People who understand forgiveness. People who understand the grace of Christ. Well, later, because it was a state senator, we're going to have a large service, funeral service for him. And the president of the United States, which was Barack Obama, was asked to give the eulogy. So he comes to Charleston, South Carolina, a large civic center, and the president of the United States gives the eulogy. No one seems to remember much of what he says in the eulogy. But at the very end, this is what he does. He just bows his head, and there's absolute silence for 2 minutes. It's if the circumstances, the grief is so overwhelming, the most powerful man in the world cannot say anything to help. All they can do is be silent. And then, after 2 minutes, he breaks the silence, not with a spoken word, but with a song. These words, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound saved a wretch like me? Well, when the people there heard that singing, they joined in and sung with the President of the United States that great hymn of our faith. It was the only time he ever did that, every time it was ever recorded. He never sung that song in public again that we know of. But that one time, he was so overwhelmed with grief, tragedy, injustice, utter helplessness. It just doesn't make sense. And when those things go on in our lives, that's when the only thing that we can lean on is grace. When Paul has a thorn in the flesh, the Lord can say to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." It's grace. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to reflect on grace this week. One of the things about that great hymn that I love is that there's a phrase there. It goes like this: 'Twas grace that brought me safe thus far. And so there's someone who said this, and I love this thought. We live between the lines of amazing grace. So since my life began, 'twas grace that brought me here to this point right now today. It's grace that brought me safe thus far. And here's my future. Grace will lead me home. Grace back then, and grace in my future, and grace to be with the Lord forever. It's grace. It's what's unique about Christianity, and it's what's offered to each and every one of us here today through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the perfect sacrifice for sinners like you and me. So what I want you to do is reflect upon God's grace to you. And if you do not know Christ Jesus as Savior, there's people here that would love to share that good news with you. Just tell them, "I want to know more about grace," and we'll share it, because we love sharing that message. But it is offered, and it is amazing. Pray with me. Father, we recognize we cannot comprehend the universe, the greatness of your creation, and we certainly cannot comprehend you, but you revealed your love, your commitment, your faithfulness to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for those who would recognize that they are today objects of God's grace. And any who are here who have yet to receive that grace, that this would be the day, that glorious day, where your amazing grace is received through Jesus Christ alone. Father, I pray that you continue to bless these dear people. This week, may we walk by faith and not by sight. May we live in the fear of the Lord, loving you, obeying you, trusting you this week for your glory. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.